With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Carlos Dunlap has been a huge addition to the Chiefs defensive front this season. Not a surprise there. He's already added 4 sacks to help the Chiefs tie for right now 3rd best in the AFC in times that they brought down the opposing quarterback with 27 sacks through 9 games. If you remember, we talked about it all offseason, 29 sacks as a team last year, finished dead last in the AFC, completely revamped it. Carlos Dunlap's a huge reason why. And last Sunday, Dunlap's half sack gave him 100 for his career, putting him in esteemed company, only 41 players in the history of the NFL, at least since sacks have been an official statistic dating back to 1982, have hit that mark. And that puts Dunlap in some pretty esteemed company with current active players with at least 100 career sacks. There are now 8, and he joins Von Miller, Cam Jordan, Justin Houston, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, and Robert Quinn. So pretty impressive company right there for Carlos Dunlap. Hope that continues. And this is KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KC Sports Network. I'm BJ Kissel, founder of KCSN and former Chiefs insider and reporter. It's Tuesday. That means it's time for our convo with the Athletics' Nate Taylor for our 5 burning questions. Excited to bring on Nate. A lot of stuff that we're going to talk about. Before we bring on Nate, quick word from our friends at DraftKings. NFL Sundays are only getting better in the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, and point totals. My personal favorite are the anytime scores. They're a lot of fun. You can do it across the NFL. Always feel like you got a chance for it. And with payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is my go-to when betting on the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KCSN and place a $5 pregame moneyline bet to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, now we bring on the Athletics' Nate Taylor for his 5 burning questions segment. Nate, before we get to those questions, how goes it this morning?
Oh, it's going, BJ. First snow of the season. I'm sure my son is making a snowman during recess this day. But no, man, how are you?
Things are good. We've got a little bit of work at the house, so if you hear some noise in the background, I'll do the best I can to keep that down. But yeah, it's a crazy time. Our house is completely tore up right now, so getting some of that work done. Obviously, would have liked the weather to be a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
At this point, but yeah, just kind of skipped right through fall, and hopefully it's not a sign of things to come with that early winter. But it seems a little early for some snow.
But yeah, seems a bit early. We move forward. That's all we can do.
We do. And the good news is Chiefs, top of the AFC, just like everyone in this offseason had predicted. All the national media nobody was doubting the Chiefs or putting them down and saying that's going to be an off year. The offense was going to take a step back. The AFC West is loaded and everybody's gunning for them. And, you know, one person even predicted, and I won't name them. Social media's done enough of that. But, you know, one person predicted Chiefs to finish dead last in the AFC West. So
where is Bart Scott? Bart Scott.
I wasn't going to name him, but you want to throw it out there?
Where is Bart? Is Bart in Bristol? Is he in Freeport? Where is Bart Scott? You know, where is he?
So That's what I want to talk about. Not Bart Scott, but that's what I want to talk about for this first burning question. Go ahead.
Sometimes we get things wrong, BJ. Sometimes we are asked to predict. We try to zig when like history has told us to zag, and we get it wrong.
You know? Sometimes you predict your rookie first round pass rusher to break the record of one of the all time best pass rushers in NFL history. I will contend that his impact has been every bit as what was expected. The pressures, every batted pass, all of those numbers are good. The one thing not a lot of so far are the actual sacks, but he has made an impact. So I'm not going to feel bad about that. And there's plenty of time left, plenty of season left to have a couple, four sack games and get right back up there. Nate, no problem there. For nobody's complaining or should be complaining about what we've seen from George Karlaftis this season. I'm sure we'll get to him here in a second. But the first thing I want to ask you about, Chiefs, obviously after the Bills lost and their victory, have the number one seed in the AFC. Looking at the schedule that the Chiefs have coming up, first burning question I've got for you: do the Chiefs relinquish at any point throughout the rest of the regular season their number one seed status in the AFC?
That's a fascinating question, BJ, because I predicted last week in The Athletic that once again the Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game. Obviously, the easiest path to do that is to maintain the number one seed. This question actually kind of pulls you into Sunday's game against the Los Angeles Chargers, right? If the Chiefs lose, they could at least give some ground. Perhaps the Miami Dolphins, who have three losses, could have more wins just based on the way the schedule's worked out so far. But I want to say no, BJ, because I think the Chiefs will win Sunday in Los Angeles, which will give them another just march down to the rest of the season. I think they'll beat the Rams. I think they'll beat the Seahawks. I think they'll be just fine with the Broncos and the Houston Texans. The most interesting game past Sunday is against the Cincinnati Bengals, because that team's been kind of going through their own roller coaster as the, defending AFC champions. So I want to say yes, just because Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP level. Kadarius Toney has fit the offense seamlessly in a surprisingly quick manner. And the defense is coming along just fine. This is one of the rare times, BJ, where I predicted a 27-17 game, and the defense held them to 17 points. It was kind of, miraculous based on those who are asked to pontificate and prognosticate. So I think the answer is yes, because outside of the Miami Dolphins just staying on an absolute tear offensively, I think the Chiefs are the team you should rely most to maintain the one seed.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I've had this conversation with Matt Miller yesterday. I am very much that Chiefs fan media person that predicts them to go like 13-4, 14-3, 12-5 at worst. And then every week when you're asked to predict, are they going to win? It's like, well, yeah. So I predict them during like on Saturday or Sunday to go 17-0, but knowing they're going to drop some games. Do I think they're going to finish the regular season 15-2? No. But do I think that the Bills will not lose again the way that they're playing? No. Like, I think they're both going to drop. It's just, is it going to happen the same week as far as the original question, as far as relinquishing that number one seed, knowing that they don't have that tiebreaker? It's just a matter of when do the Bills lose again? And I'm, looking at their schedule, what do they have coming up? I just, at this point in the season, it's just kind of like survive in advance. Try not to, have too many key injuries. Hopefully Juju, all those guys are okay. We're getting picked off by Andre Sisco. And I want to get it, because it's been a storyline this week, I want to get your thoughts since you were at the game and you were covering it from your perspective. You talk with the players afterwards. What was the prevailing thought behind the two hits on Sisco and just his reaction, which I think had as much to do with why people got pissed off about it as the way that he kind of reacted, especially after the second one?
Yeah. So, BJ, I think this is a pretty quick answer for me, which is unusual, I know, but it's a preventative play, which is basically what I asked Justin Reed in the locker room, and he agrees with me that playing the same position, yes, it's preventative. Juju is a large enough man that the strike zone between the torso to the hip to even the knee to some degree is available for Sisco. It's a terrible officiating job, in my opinion, based on the refereeing crew. And yeah, it's a dirty play based on the rules that the league and the CBA has agreed to. So as much as I am from the era of, you know, you want to catch a ball in the middle of the field, we need to make you pay. There needs to be some cost for the risk that you're taking. But based on the replay, based on seeing it in real time, there's no doubt in my mind it's helmet to helmet. There's no doubt that Cisco missed his launch target because he didn't launch himself, regardless of what people say. He's loading up for a big hit, but you also have to execute where you're trying to hit the receiver. So it's a dirty play. It's unfortunate. You know, I think Chiefs fans should understand that there should be no reason for Juju Smith-Schuster to play on Sunday because he's in the concussion protocol. Same for Chris LeMons, who had a lesser, you know, not a lesser injury. He's in the concussion protocol as well, but it's just less violent to watch during the game. But yeah, it's a bad play. It's unfortunate. And the bigger issue moving forward is what is to prevent Cisco from doing this next? He wasn't penalized. He will be fined, I think, on Saturday. I think we're going to learn that from the league. But if he's okay with losing a little bit of money, he didn't cost his team anything. He wasn't penalized. So that's the bigger impact that I think the league needs to think about and fans should keep in mind, just because you want to be consistent and it's helmet to helmet. They threw a flag. They picked it up. It's a terrible decision. And now the player doesn't feel any – he should feel more penalized and obviously should feel a little harsher about his decision when he didn't execute the way he should tackle a receiver in the middle of the field, based on how we've all been taught what the rules are for the 2022 season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the NFL doubles down, because every time I see those pool reports and the answers, it's like the refs are doubling down on the bad call that we saw during the game. And then if the NFL comes out and fines them, it's the NFL is basically saying they screwed up on the field and they screwed up afterwards by not just having common sense of understand. And Andy Reid, and this is the point that I made after the game, Andy Reid's in those meetings at the owners' meetings where they're talking about player safety and all of these things. He is very hyper aware of these things. And that's where a guy who doesn't publicly say anything about the refs, doesn't publicly say anything negative about anything regarding the NFL. So when he speaks in the way that he did, not that he went after them, but he was like, this is not the spirit in which these things were discussed. Exactly. He's very much involved with those kinds of things and knows the difference. And that will resonate with the NFL. So really interesting to see if the player does end up getting fined. And, not to rehash it again, but the second one bothered me more than the first. And I know the first one is helmet to helmet, but it felt we've all seen 100 plays, 1,000 plays like that in the NFL where safety's coming across and he leads with the crown of his helmet. I didn't see on the first one Cisco do that. He obviously hit him helmet to helmet by rule. It's a dangerous play. The way that he was coming across, didn't have a chance to get his head around. That's a tough play for a defender who his only option at that point because of the spacing is really to let him go by. Or just strike him in the, you know, the knee or the thigh and hope that, you know, you don't get the blow out his knee in that way. The second one, there's nothing good about that intent. He launched his body at him. I just feel like with the first one, he literally could have lowered his helmet or his crown and really went into him. He kind of turned it, still went helmet to helmet. But the second one is the one that bothered me the most. The reaction afterwards and the fact that he launched his body upwards at, you know, a player in a very defenseless position. That intent seemed worse to me, but again, that'll be something that will be interesting to see what happens with the NFL and if there is a fine. Because to your point, if there's not, even if there is a little bit of a fine, he basically seemingly could have taken out the Chiefs, two of the Chiefs' top receiving targets in that game. Is that worth 15 grand to a player? Hate to say it, but they're not the punishment doesn't dissuade anyone from the result of playing that way. He's not going to change the way that he's playing. And I've never heard about him being a dirty player. Never heard anything before that game, but he is now on the radar of Chiefs fans for sure.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sure. Let's move on to the second burning question. And this one's going to be a little bit fun because I want to give you a chance to revamp your answer to something that I had asked a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to play this clip for you real quick, and it'll give you an idea of what the second burning question is going to be about. This is Nate Taylor talking about Kadarius Toney just a couple weeks ago.
There's a legitimate chance if an injury occurs to somebody else on the roster that maybe, just maybe with what, 10 games left in the season for that, you could get to that 300-yard mark.
It's not an answer.
Like, I hate to
over under.
I hate to be this guy, BJ. You know, I hate.
No.
But
I might hold you to this one.
But I think
unless you're going push,
I think the fair play is to do an under.
All right, so that's the over under of 300 total yards from Kadarius Toney. Now, in fairness to your answer, you did say if there was an injury, Mecole Hardman injured, didn't play in the game, had 90 yards. And so through two games, we're at 102 yards. So in the next eight games, do we feel like he can average, what, 22 yards, 23 yards a game? So you basically got it right. There was the injury that forced him in there, but he's got to stay healthy too. That's a big part of it, and that's been a thing for him. But,
right.
The most optimistic of Chiefs fans, that everybody drinking the Kool-Aid, kind of where I normally kind of sit on that side of things, on that kind of side of things. Expected if he stays healthy to go over the 300. Now, did I expect him to have a 6-touch, 90-yard performance in his second game, getting balls all over the field and not just a bunch of package plays? No. Nope. But if I change that line to 400 yards right now, so an extra 300, take those two games out. Now, how do you feel?
I got to take it, BJ. I got to take it. You know,
you are sold. It is done.
I'm sold. Look, Patrick has never connected with a receiver this quickly since I've covered the team, let alone the talent itself that is just undeniable. When you see it, the poor Jacksonville Jaguars, they have no tape of him in this offense. And there he is just cooking you all game. Every time they give him the ball, something good happens. You never want that as a defense. I got to go over. You know, this is also a small bet to the Chiefs medical and training staff, right? You know, to make sure that his hamstrings stay loose. Because as I tweeted on Sunday, and I guess that was when I officially acknowledged it, but I was just like, man, if this guy stays healthy, my goodness. So now people understand, like, how my voice sounds when I actually tweet these things verbatim. But yeah, the idea that he could be this good this quickly, that he could know the offense, which I appreciate Patrick Mahomes telling us that, you know, he's been in the facility, in the film room, studying that playbook as much as the quarterback of the team. You know, the quarterback's supposed to be the first one in, last one out. Apparently the newest guy on the team is, you know, doing quarterback stuff. So it's translated to the field. I have to go over because you don't know, you know, when Juju will return. Mecole, you know, we'll get a better sense later in the week if he practices, particularly on Thursday, because that's the day that Andy now has sort of set for the rest of the season. What we do on Thursday and Friday will obviously matter most to the game plan and whether or not you perform on Sunday. But I said at the time, BJ, that the trade was like a C+. It's already a B+. It has the potential to go to an A if he stays on the field and is productive at any moment for the rest of the season, and if he has, you know, sort of an impact player or two in the postseason as well.
Yeah, I give him maybe two more games like that over the next 8, and it's a slam dunk deal. Like, that was a nice game. It was a big game. I love the contested catch. There have been people slowing it down, adjusting his gloves as he went up to catch the ball. I mean, I even love the mocks. I looked at Kent Swanson because Kent looked at me. He's like, that was a stupid idea on the punt return. We kind of let it bounce and picked it up real fast and ran with it. I was like, you look that smooth with it. You got that kind of confidence. Like, I love a player who runs out there and has the confidence to make a play like that. Now, if it doesn't go well, it's like, hey, you literally were brought in to not make mistakes on special teams, which is going to be our third burning question. We're going to go back to special teams again.
Yes.
But I want to go, I want to bring this in because it's not part of our deal. And you mentioned it, and your counterpart at the Athletic with the Los Angeles Chargers, Daniel Popper, had a tweet the other day, and you shouted out the Chiefs medical staff, and Rick Burkholder, the vice president of, you know, athletic performance medicine, does a phenomenal job. Tiffany, David, Evan, like that whole crew, Julie, they all do a fantastic job.
Yes.
I'm not saying that the Chargers don't not do a great job, or however you want to word this. It's not calling them out, but here's a list of all of the players that were not available for the Chargers by the end of the 49ers game. This is a tweet from Daniel Popper. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joey Bosa, JC Jackson, Rashawn Slater. By the way, all those guys have been all pros, I just mentioned, I believe. Trey Pipkins, Gerald Everett, Donald Parham, Dustin Hopkins, Josh Kelly, Christian Covington, Austin Johnson, Atito Agbanani, Jalen Guyton, and Chris Rumpf. I'm sorry, Atito, I just butchered your last name. But that's a list, and this is not a unique thing to the Chargers this year. Yeah, it is a thing that is getting to the point where it's like, it's not even a funny joke anymore. It's like, what the hell is going on? It wasn't even funny when they punctured Rod Taylor's lung trying to give him a shot a couple years. I mean, it is egregiously poor what's happening down there. And so Chiefs fans, do not take for granted that Rick and his staff always seem to do a phenomenal job getting guys ready, bringing them back at the right time. You rarely see a Chiefs player come back from an injury and they get re-injured quickly because seemingly he came back too fast. These guys are ready to go as soon as they get back. And hopefully Juju and everybody who's been banged up comes back healthy. But I wanted to give that quick shout out. And I saw that tweet yesterday. Shout out to your counterpart, Daniel Popper. Now let's move on to the third burning question. That is special teams. We got to talk about Butker again.
I told you, BJ, he's not healthy. He's not fully healthy. He's not going to be fully healthy at any point, probably the rest of the season.
If that is the case, do the Chiefs even flirt with at what point? I'm not saying that I don't think we're at the point now. At what point does it become like, man, we got to get somebody else in here to buy some more time for him to sit off and be healthy? He had the bye week to try to rest it, to do it. I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain. I don't know what level of ankle sprain. I'd be surprised if everybody listening to this podcast didn't sprain an ankle at some point. Now everybody didn't have to then go plant on that foot and kick in the NFL, and knowing that, you know, like a golf swing, a little bit of change, a little bit of mental just doubt changes everything. If that's the case, and a lot of this is mental with his ankle and how do I adjust and those kinds of things, do you even flirt with the idea of making a move at a certain point? And what is that point for you?
Yeah, I would give it another game or two, because one thing Harrison said, and we need to see if this plays out, is that he said his ankle last week feels better after every game. Now, obviously, if you aggravate it, well, that streak doesn't continue. If it gets a certain threshold but never improves, like it might happen, then, you know, we're going to have to see how this goes. You know, BJ, I don't know what the kicking market right now is. Obviously, you know, Matthew Wright is with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, by the way, won a game, and I think he performed fine. Yep. But yeah, keep your phone activated. You know, make sure the agents who represent those kickers just stay abreast as to what they're doing. Now he'll be kicking indoors in very little wind. Although SoFi Stadium is technically an open-air stadium, because the way it's constructed, you actually walk. It's amazing. I know there's going to be a lot of Chiefs fans there. If you can go to LA or if you're on the West Coast, just watch a game there. You walk, you get this lovely California breeze, then you go down and there's the stadium. It's one of the more like trippy things. So it is technically an open air stadium, but there shouldn't be that much wind in SoFi. Then you have the next game. And I just want to see it for two more weeks. You know, he wasn't asked to kick a field goal in Sunday's game against Jacksonville. Let's see him in the next two games. If the operation doesn't go smooth, then yeah, to your point, BJ, it might be fair to say let's get somebody else in here, probably not named Matt Amendola, and let's see if we can get you ready for like January, which you get two games to end the regular season, and then obviously there's the postseason run. The problem with all of this, BJ, is that as the weather gets colder, ball's going to be a rock at some point. So that isn't great. It wasn't like the weather was super duper cold Sunday, but it was the first, like, I guess you could say, coldish kind of game of the season. So if he does well in California and then they come back and he does well in the next game, then I think you have a little bit more faith that Bucker will be right by the postseason. But I think Dave Tope has to be honest with himself and say that if there's somebody available on a practice squad, or if you want to do another tryout, which they've done two so far this regular season, it's okay to do a third, just because this team is in position to win the Super Bowl. And Harrison Bucker, I think, is a wise enough individual and a mature enough player to understand that if you're not performing at the highest level to the team's expectations, and if they're a kick away from, you know, being in Arizona in February, there's reason to make such a move.
And in fairness to Butker, and you've been around him, obviously more recently, I'd spent a little bit of time around him. And if there's somebody that you don't want to doubt their work ethic, their ability to try and study their craft and all of those things, he's wired the right way to try to get this done. It just, at some point it becomes mental at that position. And it's toying with, if the ankle's not quite right, how is he adjusting? Is that going through his mind when he plants? Does he feel something, or does he, does he not feel anything on game day, to take some of that pain away? Is that changing thing? Whatever it is, it's not great right now. And as the games become more important later in the regular season for chance at a one seed, get into the playoffs, you don't want to be doubting the health or the ability to execute even the basic things. Because it's as sad as it sounds, I'm more comfortable with Bucker kicking a 56-yard field goal right now than I am an extra point. As weird as that sounds, because it's like, well, he'll drill this. I'm not worried about this one. It's the simple kicks that I'm a little bit more stressed out about right now. Let's move on to a player and a side of the ball that has been dominant. It was happy. We talked about it on the postgame show and then talked about it yesterday, that Chris Jones has now entered the odds for Defensive Player of the Year on the different betting sites. So he is the seventh best odds right now. Not high on that list. Micah Parsons is going to run away with this award. If you look at the odds of betting on it, he is the odds on favorite. It's not particularly close, but
so good.
He is an absolute animal.
So freaking good.
He's a unicorn to watch, but that doesn't take away the fact that Chris Jones deserves to be in that national conversation. And now it seems like as dominant he's been all year, that he's in that conversation. What's been the biggest difference or surprise thing for you, having covered Chris for several years in which he's been very, very good? What's different about him this year for him playing the way that he is and the impact that he's making?
Yeah. First is he's as healthy as you can be this late in the season, right? He doesn't have the wrist injury. He doesn't have anything with his groin. Those have been issues earlier in his career in recent seasons. I think Joe Cullen has done a very nice job, the new defensive line coach, about making sure that when they do try to get him in one-on-one opportunities, whether that's coming from the edge or the interior, they are smart when they actually set that up. So a team can't necessarily adjust for it as quickly as they did a year ago, right? You know, there were times where, hey, this guy is who we need to be most aware of. This is a credit to Colin Saunders in some sense, to Mike Dana, who can, come down on the interior. in sort of that NASCAR package that Steve Spagnuolo has always loved. And look, offensive line play is down this year, and that's across the league. And Chris Jones is feasting off of it. let's be honest. He's great in his own way, but I don't think he's gone up against a top interior lineman all season. And so what you're asking your star player to do is be a star. And that's what he's done countless times. It's unfortunate that, like, he should have a strip sack and he should have another sack that both got taken away based on the referees' judgment calls. So, you know, he could be closer to double digits right now than he actually is, which does sway some of the opinion in terms of who is the defensive player of the year, who was those leading candidates. Obviously, the Chiefs are the one seed in the AFC. That certainly helps. I think what Chiefs fans should ask for Chris right now is, can you be the best defensive player in the AFC? Because if you're that, we go to the Super Bowl. If we're that, it's less of a burden on Patrick Mahomes in the offense. If you're that, we're getting pressure on Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, on whoever we see in the postseason, whether that's, you know, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. So I think there's a combination of things. But look, Chris tweeted out in the offseason that he wanted to win the Defensive Player of the Year award. I appreciate the honesty and the aspiration that he has to do that. He certainly has the talent to get there. And look, Aaron Donald's not having a great year. You know, TJ Watt has been injured for much of this season. Micah Parsons does exist. I think Von Miller at times has been the best defensive player in the AFC. He's starting to trend a little bit back down to earth because, you know, he's getting up there in years. And so it'll be interesting to see how Buffalo tries to manage Von Miller over the course of the season because he's their best pass rusher. But if Chris has a game like he did against the Dallas Cowboys a year ago where he was just a complete game wrecker in a primetime setting, I don't know, this Sunday against Justin Herbert and the banged up Los Angeles Chargers, then he can climb up that list. But I think the standard and the expectations for him to reach right now is, can you be the best defensive player in the AFC? And then can you prove that with production, with pressure, and with some sacks in the postseason?
I love that Chris put out there that he wants to be defensive player of the year, but his best tweet was when he told Shannon Sharp to shut up, clown, when Shannon was talking about him running his mouth and getting those penalties. You bop Shannon Sharp, that's an A-plus tweet in my book. You somehow get Bart Scott in that, and it's just just chef kiss. Yeah. Kind of bopping right now. Before we move on to the final burning question here with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Nate, I'm biased because he's been one of my guys since even before the Chiefs drafted him. I got a chance to talk to him on draft night. Just good dude, Colin Saunders. As far as stories on that side of the ball, and everyone's got he's got that personality. A lot of people have great relationships with him because he's got that infectious personality. But as far as like just fun, good storylines from the Chiefs defense this year, where does Colin Saunders' performance and what we've seen from him? And I'll even put, I won't name, there's some people on our network that had projected Colin to not make this team. There are a lot of people out there who did it, but even within KCSN, there were people not thinking he was going to make it. And I'm like, you cannot find an athlete like that on the practice squad. There, you cannot replicate what that dude can do. But for you being around him and covering this team the way that you do, where does his performance and what he's done for the defense and just his overall kind of just great moment for him this season to kind of break out the way he has, where does that rank on storylines on that side of the ball for you this year?
Yeah, it's pretty up there. I'll be honest myself, BJ, you know, in the off season, as we were getting closer to training camp, I wrote in The Athletic, hey, here are 9 players who are basically in contract years. Now, most of them were in the final year of their deal, of their rookie deal. There were some people like Chris Jones who was basically in a contract year because the team can actually save more money releasing you than retaining you for the following season. So basically, you need to reestablish your value so that you can obviously get a contract extension. Chris Jones has done that, by the way. But there were 9 players that I said, this is a big year for you, both in the season and moving forward in your career. Colin Saunders wasn't on that list. That's how much he had fallen because of his dislocated elbow, because of the knee injury he had last year, because of the lack of just consistently being on the field. He wasn't even a thought I had in terms of players entering a contract year. Now he's the player who's having the best season in a contract year that is on their last year of their rookie contract. So he's, in my opinion, having a better year than Mecole Hardman, even though, yes, Mecole Hardman has scored touchdowns. But in terms of where he started and where he is right now, and I just wrote about him yesterday in The Athletic, and people can go read that. I mean, he's had a fantastic season. He is one of the best talkers on the team in terms of giving you quotes, insight with a little bit of humor, but some true honesty in saying that he felt like his value was, you know, it was a false proof of who he was as a player. And now he's sort of reaching that potential. He is, and I tend to agree with him. He is sort of the Chiefs run defense right now. Like, he's performing better than Derek Nnadi. Tershawn Wharton unfortunately had a knee injury, and Colin Saunders replaced him and has risen to the moment. So you're always pleased when a good human being who just happens to play football is obviously playing up to their level, up to their expectation. But yeah, he's probably one of the more fascinating players on defense, and he's having a better year than Frank Clark. He's having a better year than, again, Mecole Hardman, in my opinion. He's having a better year than Juan Thornhill, who's been really good at times. But to do this from the interior with that freak athleticism that you mentioned, to give Chris Jones the ability to be like, hey, I can take this double team and chill, because he's getting pressure, because he's stopping the run, because I'm penetrating and Collins sort of cleaning it up. Or guess who's not being blocked into the next down? Sometimes Nick Bolton has the ability to just run freely because Colin Saunders is just eating gaps. So he's a large reason as to why they've been successful over the last month or so.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So at this point, we say, Brett, just pay the guy. Give guy some money. I don't think he's going to command a ton of money. I'm not saying he's going to get top of the market. He's going to be a solid rotational, if not starter, along your defensive line. He's done all the right things. He's, you know, in the locker room, he's well-liked. He's a good teammate.
Yep.
He provides – he's an energy giver, absolutely. He very much reminds me of Raheem Nunez-Roches years ago, a similar kind of person, just always smiling, just always in a good mood. And at this point, I just want to see the guy get some offensive snaps too. I want to get some money in his pocket, and I would put that guy at fullback. We saw it at Western Illinois. Like, guy can move. You've seen him play basketball. He is actually, if the Chiefs had a basketball team, Colin Saunders would be a ball hand, if not a point guard, but like a two guard, fair ball where Mahomes is at, would absolutely be in that. And if people are looking at me like, why would a defensive tackle do that? You have not seen this man play basketball.
So good.
He knows what he's doing. The beast, like, he's got it. He's got it.
Yeah, I wrote about that during the 2019 season, how so many guys played basketball on the team. And yeah, he was one of the better ones. But no, I think it honestly, BJ, and I have not thought this all the way through, but it does make sense for Colin, who I think is appreciative of where he is, who obviously loves Chris Jones. Chris ain't going nowhere. We've seen now that these two people can not only coexist, but can sort of thrive and benefit one another. Because Colin has won a lot of one-on-one matchups in past passing down situations lately. It would make sense for the player who is appreciative as to where he is, who wants to continue to be on a good team. He's from St. Louis, so this is not foreign to him. I think for the agent standpoint and for the team standpoint, it does kind of make sense to have, you know, a conversation in December. If this continues to where you make a decision right now, hey, is there anybody in the draft class who can do this if he just stays healthy? All right. If we make this decision now, it kind of tells you where we stand on Derek Nnadi, who will also be a free agent. So you might have to pick one of them anyway. If you don't see anybody who is a clear upgrade, you know, at the position who could be a potential free agent.
And he's 26 years old.
Yeah,
he's 26.
yeah.
You give him a 2-year deal. He becomes a free agent again at 28. So if he continues what he's doing this year for another 2 years, then he's got a chance for that bigger deal. But guy's 26 years old, not commanding like a 5-year deal at this point, but put a little money in his pocket, take care of him.
Yeah, and see if it, you know, cap's going to go up anyway. So, you know, I'm so glad you brought this up because it does make sense. Because Joe Collin has gotten the best out of him so far, and he has worked really, really well. And Collin says his injuries have been freak accidents or freaky sort of injuries. They have not been soft tissue related. So, yeah, if you believe that, again, what the training staff has done with Collin, what Collin has done in the offseason, if he sort of figured out his, you know, how to get him through a season, then it does make sense to have a 2-year deal where, you know, it's a nice signing bonus attached to it, and you're going to get some cap relief next year, and that obviously the bulk of it would probably be laid out in 2024.
All right, quick last question. Chiefs win on Sunday night. They've got a 3-game lead in the AFC West through 11 weeks. How insufferable should Chiefs fans be considering all this crap that was getting talked on the offseason, taking that kind of commanding lead within this division?
They should talk at an incessant level. I mean, just put it in everybody's face. You know, there's a woman that I know who lives in Kansas City. Shout out to Joy. She is a diehard Raiders fan or diehard Raider fan. How it going, Joy? How is it going? Yeah, you should talk. I mean, you could talk to, you know, I know a guy, you know, my guy Dusty, you know, I mean, like, you're a Bronco fan. How that going, man? I mean, he tells me. But yeah, you should talk these, you should have these conversations if you're a Chiefs fan and they win on Sunday, because you haven't even played the Broncos. You don't need to. We already won the division. Like, that's the thing you could say if they win on Sunday.
And they traded away their best defensive player, like outside of Sertan. But Bradley Chubb gets traded. Like it there are so many receipts. There's so many receipts out there that there are going to be montages all over the place when it's official and they won the division and all of that. But a lot of that stuff might start creeping out after Sunday night if they pick up that win. But Nate Taylor from The Athletic, man, always appreciate you joining us on this episode of KCSN Update every Tuesday. And appreciate you Chiefs fans for spending part of your day with us. You know, there's a lot of great places to get Chiefs content. Make sure to get Nate's content over The Athletic. I promise you it's worth however many few bucks a month it is. And check out his podcast with Seth Kyther and Josh Briscoe called Time's Hours. Also great outlet for Chiefs news. But appreciate you all spending time with us. We'll have plenty more great content throughout the week here at KCSN. We'll see you later.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.